Shalom, and welcome to Shalom Ariel, as we are presenting a two-part program on the Feast of Shavuot with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. And today we're going to be speaking about Shavuot, which is the birth of the body of Messiah, the birth of the church, where Jews and Gentiles are united in one spirit in the bond of peace. And what more important occupation could we busy ourselves with than praying for God's will to be done here on earth? And in light of what has been going on lately this past week in Israel, we, the body, need to be united in our response in defending Israel's right to exist. And she will and must continue to exist, because there are prophecies yet to come contingent on her very existence. She will and must continue to exist, because through her, God has demonstrated his unrelenting faithfulness despite her failures. And therefore, we can trust that same loyalty of love, that same chesed. We would be foolish not to bless Israel. In Genesis 12, God says, I will bless those who bless you. You see, there's a blessing when you love the Jewish people. And Psalm 122:6 commands us to pray for Jerusalem's peace. It actually says, they prosper who love you. We will have quiet and rest in our soul because we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Yeshua was clear in Matthew 25. He said, did you feed them? Did you clothe them? If not, forget the blessing. There's judgment instead. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem so that Jewish hearts get soft to hear about her Messiah. Let's not give God rest from our prayers until he establishes Jerusalem. Be blessed as you tune in to part one of our two-part series on Shavuot with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. And Hag Sameach. You know, today we're celebrating the Feast of Shavuot, or Pentecost, and it is a heartwarming festival as it speaks to every believer. But before delving on this great subject, this great festival, we need to focus our attention on what we have seen and what we're seeing in the most recent war between Israel and Hamas. Just as Israel was recovering from COVID and finally began to returning to normal life, it has been under attack from this past Monday with well over 2,300 rockets indiscriminately launched into the civil population. But have you noticed some things which are very peculiar concerning this war? Have you seen the hand of God in there? There are a couple of points which makes it appear illogical in terms of military warfare. First, these 2,300 Qassam rockets founded by Iran were launched to inflict death among the Jewish people, but did you see that very few of them hit their targets? So many rockets and 10 Israelis' life were lost, and not all of them from the rockets. Do you see the disproportion? The Israeli Iron Dome was very effective. However, it could not stop the constant barrage of rockets. What we see, and what we see also from the other wars in Israel, is that God is protecting his people in front of our eyes. And also, have you noticed Hamas' strong determination in the face of so many losses? What is strange here is how could such a small army ever imagine they could win against Israel's level of nuclear power? What do you think feeds their irrational motive and what fired their fierce anger? The Lord gave an answer for this. As I mentioned before, the Lord spoke in Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 15, of an everlasting hatred, an everlasting revenge. What does that come from? This deep-seated spiritual animosity finds its origin in the evil one himself. We have read in the prophecies how these hatreds will flare up even more the closer we approach the time of Yeshua's second coming. This seems to have begun. And because Yeshua will return to the land of Israel, and because it is in this land of Israel where he will reign, it becomes the principal target for the forces of evil. And how interesting that the passage in Ezekiel chapter 25, when speaking of the Philistine hatred, which these are the one who resided at the exact geographical location of this group, Hamas. Isn't it not strange that in the Bible, the Philistines as a people have disappeared, their final judgment is yet to come. Different people, but the same hatred. And it is both Israeli and the Palestinian civilians that are suffering. However, you know what? More so the Palestinian people, for whom we need to pray. For instance, one journalist wrote that he could not find any bomb shelter in Gaza. In fact, Hamas is operating underground, the metro. This is how they dub their underground operations, which is right under civilian buildings and where they hide their weapons and build tunnels. This is why this war is taking so long. The Israelis will not bomb the civilians. One obvious fact is that Israel is more concerned about the Palestinian population than their own government, because destroying a building before they do that, the IDF warns them and even airdrops leaflets to warn them, while Hamas spent all its money for the destruction of Israel, regardless of what other things. History, I want to tell you, will be at a loss to explain what we are witnessing today. But there is something new about this war that I mentioned in our midweek Bible study. The sad fact is that the Israeli Arabs, making up 20% of Israel population, have risen against the Jews inside the land itself. Even as I speak to you, they are riots right now. I read this morning about rioting in different parts of the country, and the government labeled these uprisings as pogroms. Pogroms in Israel. A pogrom is a violent riot aimed at a massacre of Jews. These have been perpetrated against the Jewish people in the last 2,000 years, with the most recent and significant one being in the Nazi Germany. But now, this is the first time they see it happening in Israel. We have seen how violent confrontation erupted in Lod. You know that 5 synagogues were burnt in that city. Other confrontation took place in Jerusalem, in Haifa, and in the north also, in Acre, and also in Tiberias. There were a multitude of injuries, some of them serious. And you know what? As I speak, it's still going on. When one looks at this map that I have, one realizes how small Israel is. You know that the south is desert. The center and the north are peppered with Muslim towns and villages. This is not how the Lord gave the land to his people. In Lod, they could salvage at least 2 Torah scrolls from a synagogue, as you can see in the pictures. I would have never thought to see this type of picture coming from Israel. I truly believe that these are warnings for the time to come, as all the prophets proclaimed in one voice, the time of the tribulation, Jacob's trouble. But that these rioters come from both sides, by the way. The Muslims, as well as Jewish religious extremists, they don't help. After this war, Israel will not be the same. The government will now have to deal with the enemy from within and from without. What is happening now in Israel reminds us of the prophecy in Psalm 83. This psalm describes how the immediate neighbors of Israel will attack the Jews just before the second coming. This psalm describes the Philistines rising from the west, as it is today. It mentions the east side also, where so much hatred is emanating. The Edomites, the Moabites, the Ammonites, situated in the eastern side of Israel. The psalm also, and specifically, speaks of Assyria, it says, and I quote, "Assyria has also joined them." We then think of Iran, who occupies much of the same territory as the ancient Assyrians did, and one of the prime financial backers supporting this violence. We will closely follow these developments and bring more of these prophecies when next week, actually, we will return to our study of Revelation and look into the campaign of Armageddon, including, of course, Psalm 83. Now, for now, let us look into this great feast of the Lord, which is Pentecost, or Shavuot. And, of course, as it is our tradition, let us first dedicate the most precious gift I believe the Lord has given us, our children. And, of course, if you have your children with you, bring them close to you, put your hand upon them. Let's pray for them. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad Baruch Shem Kevod Malchut Olam Vaed. Blessed be his name, whose glorious kingdom is coming and is forever and ever, Heavenly Father. We pray. We pray as Moses prayed, may our sons and daughters walk after you and fear you and keep your word and obey your voice. May they serve you and hold fast to you. Protect them, O Lord. May our children be strong and courageous and not fear being dread, for it is you, Lord, our God, who goes with them. You will never leave them or forsake them. And as David prayed, let our sons in their youth be as grown-up plants, and our daughters are as corner pillars fashioned as for a palace. And so, Lord, we ask that you richly bless them and keep them close to you as we commit them to you. B'Shem Yeshua Mashiach. Amen and amen. Now, let me begin by wishing you happy birthday. Happy birthday. It is Bet Ariel's birthday. It is all of God's congregation's birthday. We're about 2,000 years old and still going on, being renewed by his grace every day. This is what actually the feast is. It was on Shavuot that the ecclesia, the congregation of God, the body of the Messiah, was born. It all began in Jerusalem with 12 disciples and Yeshua, and among them many women who changed the world. The new believers, by the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, began to spread the word of God and the knowledge of God, beginning in Israel and then eventually to all the nations of the world. It is from this point that Israel began as a body to be a light to the Gentiles, as prophesied by the prophets. And since its inception, the role of the biblical-based church has been intertwined with the history of the formation, the progress, and the success of the Western society. This Judean Christian foundation was instrumental in inspiring scientific, medical, and technological advancement for the world. The Bible, in which lies all the fundamental teaching of God, has greatly impacted our notion of human dignity, of human rights, the importance of family, of education, and political freedom. However, today, it is this very foundation, this voice, which speaks out to the world, God's word, which is being minimized in importance and mocked more and more. But we're still here with the same Bible and the same love, still spreading God's good news until the Lord calls us home. Amen. At the time when this new movement was taking shape, it impacted the city of Jerusalem so powerfully that the religious leaders became increasingly disturbed because it was growing very fast. But let me bring you to what one of these leaders said. This comes from a man who wrote so much in their Talmud and who unwittingly gave a powerful prophecy that is recorded actually in Acts chapter 5. His name is Gamaliel. And it was under him that Paul was educated in his Jewish training. This is what he said to the whole Sanhedrin just as the ecclesia began to grow. He says, for if this plan or this work is of man, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. This is powerful. He was right. They were fighting against God. Against God himself, for here we are 2,000 years after these words were pronounced, for no one was able or is able to undermine the message of salvation. Amen. The reason why it is still here, it is because it is a group of people who are so important to God as well, so central that Yeshua, the Messiah, calls them his bride, and even more, his own body. This is why we're fully protected. These two illustrations, bride and body, show us the strongest bond ever between God and man. And these knots are found right here in the congregation of God. And I thank God and feel so privileged to be part of it. Today, we will travel back in the time, 2,000 years, and head to Jerusalem, where we will see how the text of Acts chapter 2 describes the birth of the church, of the body of the Messiah. I also want to encourage you by emphasizing this great bond all believers have with Yeshua. This will be done by looking at a beautiful love story given in the scriptures. That is that of Ruth and Boaz. Boaz, the ancestor of David and the ancestor of Yeshua, their union actually typifies our union with Yeshua. So let's open our Bible to Acts chapter 2. You can follow through these slides. And so it all began on a day of Shavuot, like these days, when the disciples and other believers were in an upper room, perhaps the same room where they had the Last Supper with the Messiah. And there they were gathered and received the Holy Spirit of God. The account is in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. These eight short verses mark the birth of the body of the Messiah. This is how it goes. When the day of Shavuot, Pentecost, had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were surprised, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" You know, this is the day when great miracles happened and when a new era began. See that as they were gathered and as what was prophesied by the prophets Joel and Jeremiah and others, the Ruach HaKodesh, that is the Spirit of God, came upon them, and they were filled with His presence to mark this new dispensation. And as the Spirit came upon them, they began to speak in different languages. Languages they did not know before, and everyone understood their message. Different languages was no more a hindrance, because it was the beginning of the spreading of the word of God to all the nations. This marked the reversal of the curse of rebellious Babel, where God confused man's language to protect him from his own self-destruction. Now he begins actually to let man go and speak and understand the language of salvation. The next verses, from verses 9 to 11 of Acts 2, lists the places from where they come from. At least 16 different tongues are mentioned: Arabic, Greek, Italian, Hebrew. And one question we ask: what were all these Jewish people from all the nations in the diaspora were doing in Jerusalem at this time? The reason behind this great gathering brings us closer to know our great Savior. It is because it was Shavuot. Because Shavuot is one of the three yearly feasts when all Jews were summoned to come to Jerusalem as the law commanded. Now let me situate this great feast within the other feast of the Lord in Leviticus 23. Many of you are familiar with this slide. But as Paul said, to write the same thing to you is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. But in this case, it is really to remember and enhance our appreciation of what Yeshua has done. This is why we're doing the Feast of Israel at Beit Ariel. They represent, the seven feasts represent an outline of the entire history of salvation, from his death to the establishment of the Messianic kingdom. All is there. The first four in these festivals are fulfilled in the program of the Messiah's first coming. Passover is the first feast where Yeshua dies for the sins of the world. This is what the Lamb is. He was sinless and with no leaven, fulfilling the second feast, that is the unleavened bread. Next, he resurrected at the same time as the Feast of First Fruits, fulfilling it. And today we are celebrating the fourth feast, Pentecost, the birth of the body of the Messiah, which took place 50 days after Passover, 50 days after his death. That is when the Ecclesia came to be. Then in between, we see the time of grace. This is our time right now before the rapture comes, a time to go and spread the good news about salvation. We then have the second set of the Feast of Israel, beginning with the Feast of Trumpets, which represents the next prophecy to be fulfilled. That is the resurrection of the believers and the rapture of those believers who are alive. Once the believers are out of this world, the very end time prophecies begin with the famines, with war, with plagues, etc. All of this symbolized by Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which ends with the second coming, leading to the fulfillment of Sukkot, which symbolizes the Messianic times or the millennium. In these seven feasts, we have the whole history of redemption from Passover to Sukkot. But I would like to attract your attention on these three particular feasts. It is in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, where God ordered that all Jews from everywhere in the world to come three times a year to the temple at Jerusalem. And there's a reason for it. And he chose these three feasts. So important were these feasts that the expression for appearing before God means they shall see the face of the Lord. Come and see my face, because it was a great time of rejoicing, of great communal meal. These three feasts are the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Shavuot, and the last feast of Sukkot, or Tabernacles. Why these three feasts? Rabbinical commentators are for the most part silent on this subject. But this commandment is crucial and cannot be understood if one removes Yeshua from the scriptures, if one removes the Messiah from the scriptures. These three feasts gathers for us all the three main ministry of the Messiah that he was to do. That of prophet, priest, and king. All these offices were prophetic in themselves and pointed to one man, Yeshua. At Passover, the Messiah fulfilled his mission of prophet. He is the prophet spoken of by Moses in Deuteronomy 18. He is the one described in Isaiah 53, for he died, he was rejected, he died, and he resurrected. At the Feast of Shavuot or Pentecost, the Messiah performs the office of high priest. For after his death and resurrection, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. This is his current office now. The term high priest is a major theme in the book of Hebrews. It is mentioned 16 times in this book, more than the number of times those same words are mentioned in the Torah. For this is who our Messiah is now. He is our high priest. He is our advocate. He's always there for us, 24/7. You can call him. He will answer you. At the Feast of Sukkot or Tabernacle, the Messiah comes back as the King of Kings and establishes his kingdom on earth. This is how he is called at the second coming, Revelation 17. We're going to cover very soon. The Lamb who is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. This is who Yeshua is. You know, I want to tell you, one counts. They are not three feasts, but they are really four feasts. Okay, well, the Feast of Unleavened Bread is mentioned. It does include that of Passover. So it is four out of the seven feasts where God wanted to gather his people to celebrate. It's like a father who tells his children, stay a little longer with me. I want to be with you, right? Now, practically, for us today, how can we view these great feasts? How do they speak to us, these three feasts especially? In these three offices of the Messiah, we can sum up our own journey on earth. The first, Passover and Unleavened Bread, speak of our salvation and sanctification. This is what the death and purity of the Messiah performed for us. And so this is what we have to follow through. In the second, we can see our betrothal or our wedding engagement with the Messiah. For now, we are not yet married, but engaged to him. This is the message of Shavuot for us. In the third, we can see our wedding. This is what will happen when the Messiah comes back. Do you know that in Revelation 19, when Jesus comes back, the wedding is the first thing that is mentioned right after the second coming, as if he can't wait for it. So we have a great message of hope in this Feast of Israel. And in our feast of today, Shavuot, which stresses this great position that we have with the Messiah, being betrothed to the Messiah. And this engagement is so often, I want to tell you, stressed in the scriptures as if, again, the Messiah cannot wait. And it is now that I want to bring you to this love story I told you before, the love story in the Bible, which illustrates our own story of love between us, that is, and the Messiah. So you can turn with me to the book of Ruth, if you have it in front of the Bible with you. So it's between Judges and Samuel, because I know that this is another book you find by faith, right, within the scriptures. It is actually the eighth book of the Bible, so you cannot miss it. And I love the fact that it is the eighth book for number eight in the Bible, Shmoni. From the word shemen, which means plenteous. It is the same word for oil, the oil, and speaks of riches that God poured on the believers, as when David said in Psalm 133, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." It's like this precious shemen, oil, upon the head. In the story, Ruth goes from gathering barley, which is a poor grain, to gathering the wheat, which is a rich grain. This is similar to the journey of the believer. We are on our way to a rich, shemen life with the Messiah. That's the message of this book.
Shalom Ariel is a daily radio program emphasizing the Jewish perspective of Scripture. God is not through dealing with Israel, nor will He renege any of the promises He has made to her. Our teacher for this program, Jacques Isaac Gabizon, is a Messianic Jewish believer and Messianic leader at Beth Ariel Congregation right here in Montreal. If you've been encouraged by the messages, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-888-685-5902, or you may write us at info@BethAriel.ca. You are also welcome to join us for our Saturday morning services. We are located at 6297 Monkland Boulevard, corner of Madison in NDG. The message is given in English, but we do offer simultaneous translation into French and Russian. Services begin at 11 a.m. We have Shabbat school for children of all ages, up to and including teens. You may also download audio messages from our website at BethAriel.ca and enjoy other in-depth teaching from Jacques Isaac. If you would like to sign up for informative newsletters, log on to our website and add your name to our email list. Shalom Ariel is a listener-supported program. If you have it on your heart to donate, it will be a great blessing for the continuing ministry and outreach of Beth Ariel. Thank you and Shalom Shalom.
Don't urge me to leave you. Or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be if even death